Welcome to the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast. We're going to explore ways to sharpen our diagnostic skills, find learning resources, and hear from experts in the automotive field. Hey, what's going on, automotive world? Welcome to another episode of the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast. My name is Sean Tipping. I'll be your host once again for today's episode. Thank you for joining me. Today on the show, I am going to begin or kick off what is actually going to be a series or multi-episode topic. I initially thought I was going to cover all of this in one episode. I got to writing my notes and I quickly realized, oh, there's a lot more information here than I initially thought, and it's too much for one episode. So we'll break this up into sections. What I'm going to talk about today is transmission programming, and we're going to start off with two of the domestics, two of the big three. We're going to cover Chrysler and Ford. I was going to do Chrysler, Ford, and GM after I realized all brands were too much, and then I got through Chrysler and Ford. I'm like, well, this is definitely enough for one episode, so we're going to go through those two. And then what I will probably do is do GM and then Nissan as well for the next episode. And then we'll get into some other brands after that. The reason I'm doing this is I sort of stumbled into doing most, if not all, of the transmission shops local to me, their programming. And over the last few years, I've programmed a lot of transmissions and learned a lot about transmissions because I've done some diagnostics too. We're really not going to dive too much into the diagnostics. I'll bring up a few things, but really on the programming side of things, learned quite a bit and have helped out these transmission shops to get these vehicles ready to go, right? You know, they're doing the building, most of the diagnostics, outside of some electrical and computer issues. You know, they're doing the hard work to make this happen, and I'm going to come in and program it to make sure it's ready. But there are some things that you want to know about programming. And one of the questions I get a lot is, can we do a used transmission or TCM in this particular vehicle? Or does this transmission / TCM need to be programmed if we put it in this vehicle, even if it's new? Is there a programming? Can I do a use? What's involved? I get questions from shops, but I also get questions from listeners of the show on this stuff. So I thought this would be a good episode to put out there, or it'll be episodes, just to give you a quick reference on transmission control module programming, specifically when the transmission is being rebuilt or replaced. And before I get into it, I should mention that this is not meant to be all-encompassing, right? There's going to be vehicles that I'm not aware of that I just don't mention here. Maybe there's some oddball stuff, or maybe there's some stuff that you know that I don't, that you can fill me in on this. But what I'm going to do is try to cover the most common things that I see so that you have a good reference for this stuff. So we're going to start with Chrysler. So this is going to cover Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, all of those vehicles. What do we do with those transmissions? What do we need to do when they're replaced? And what can we do as far as scan tool, programming functions, used modules, new modules? Where do we go with this? The reason I started with Chrysler is because for the most part, obviously not all of it, but for the most part, you don't have to do a whole lot of programming when it comes to Chrysler transmission. Now, there are exceptions, and I'll get into that. That's why I'm talking about Chrysler. But generally speaking, Chrysler transmission control modules are external to the transmission, and it's been that way for a long time. That means that the controller that operates the transmission is not in the transmission itself, or it's built into the PCM, or it's a module that's bolted up under the dash, something like that. Meaning that when you replace the transmission, the module is staying fixed to the vehicle. So all the VIN information, all the programming, calibration data, it's going to stay there. It's not going to change. So you throw in either a new or used transmission, and it's just a matter of doing a quick learn through the scan tool in most cases. you know, there might be specific relearns for a specific model or something like that. You know, there were some CVTs used in some of the front wheel drive Dodge vehicles where you had to do a relearn through the scan tool to pull some ROM data from the valve body. And if you didn't do that, it would set a code. But it was all scan tool functions, right? The quick learn for these transmission done through the scan tool. So it really wasn't any programming that was done to a number of Dodge transmissions. And there's still quite a few out there that are like this. You put a transmission in a caravan, for the most part, you don't have to really do much as far as programming goes. Now, that's not to say there isn't updates for the software. I guess that's a little bit different. That's something that you'll have to look into to see where the calibration in the module is. But when the transmission's replaced, you don't necessarily have to do any programming, okay? Now, the exception to this is the 8-speed transmissions that are being used in a number of different Chrysler vehicles. These transmissions are made or designed by a company called ZF. It's a German company. They make a lot of transmissions, and you're actually going to find out, we're going to reference a number of different manufacturers in the U.S. and elsewhere that use the ZF transmissions or base their transmission off of a design that was created by ZF. And just for anybody that's wondering, I looked it up. ZF stands for, let's see if I can do this, Zahnradfabrik. I'm probably butchering that, but it's German for gear factory. And they initially began as a company making components for Zeppelins, according to Wikipedia. So anyways, they make transmissions too, and you're going to find them used in a lot of different vehicles. Chrysler Dodge Jeep is one of those vehicles. So this is going to be an 8-speed transmission. If you might see it listed as the ZF8HP transmission. And in this transmission, and you'll find a lot of the ZF transmissions, the TCM is going to be internal part of the valve body inside the transmission. All right. And so that means when this transmission is replaced, the module, the calibration, the VIN number potentially is going to stay with that transmission. So if you put in a used one, or if you put in a new one, you're going to have to do some sort of programming to make some of these transmissions work. But first, let's go through the vehicles. And again, not all encompassing, but the vehicles that I have seen this used in or seen it listed in would be the Chrysler 300, Dodge Charger, Challenger, Durango, Jeep Grand Cherokee, and some of the newer Wranglers. I'm talking like 18 and up. And again, there's probably other Chrysler vehicles out there that use this 8-speed transmission, but those are the ones that I see. So if you're replacing this with a new transmission, you got a new or rebuilt transmission, of course, the module is internal and it's going to need programming. You can just do this with YTEC. YTEC is Chrysler's factory programming or scan tool interface, and it's pretty straightforward. Follow the directions. You push in the flash, it's going to learn the VIN. And outside of a quick learn, there's not a whole lot else that needs to be done at that point. But factory scan tool for new transmissions will make this work. I'm not going to get a whole lot into the details of the process of the programming. I just want to let you know what tools are able to perform what you need. Now, going used on these transmissions, and I have seen this a number of times be attempted for a number of these different vehicles, particularly the Chargers and Challengers. I seem to run into it quite a bit. That people are throwing used transmissions in these. But anyways, when you're doing a used transmission, the factory programming is not going to work in order to reprogram this. Now, there's a couple things here specific that we're dealing with in these modules that needs to be changed, or you want to at least attempt to change. And that's going to be the VIN number for the vehicle and the calibration, the flash file that is in that control module, right? So if they get a used transmission, if they match it up exactly to the vehicle that's going in, right? So it came out of the exact same vehicle, the same options, the calibration might be the same, and then the VIN would be the only thing that's different. And I will say, I have seen a couple of these used transmissions done with that exact scenario, right? The correct calibration. So the old and the new are the same calibration. And you can look this up. It's the number when you connect your scan tool to the, it's listed as a control module part number, but it's really the flash file that's downloaded from Chrysler and it's pushed into the module. Those are the same and the VIN's different. I've seen a couple of these on 2015s. One was a Charger, one was a Ram, where because they matched up the calibration, no programming was really necessary. Did the original VIN match in the computer? No, but the current VIN did, and there were no codes in any other modules or the transmission indicating a VIN mismatch. Now, I can't say that's always going to be true. On a different vehicle of a different year, there could be VIN mismatch codes. I've seen a number of Chryslers with other modules, ABS comes to mind, where there's VIN mismatch codes if you don't correct that VIN number somehow or another. And there's no scan tool or programming feature to correct the VIN in these. Now, a couple of things you can do if you want to make that VIN correct, or you run into a scenario where you need to make the VIN correct, or the calibration file as well. Because if a calibration file is wrong, the factory scan tool is not going to allow you to change it to the right one. It's just going to say, hey, this is the wrong application for this vehicle. Or it's just going to say the way that Chrysler looks up the flash files, it references what's in there. And it might just say, yeah, this is the most current flash file available for what, for your particular application. So the factory scan tool with a used one that has either the wrong VIN or the wrong cal, you're not going to be able to do a whole lot with it for a used one. What I've seen some people do on these transmissions is what's called a hot swap. So they'll begin the programming process with the old transmission plugged in. And of course, this might take some trickery to make this happen because the plug-in is on the side of the transmission. But you can start with it plugged in, and then in the process of programming, so you're not completely done, you're going to plug in the used module, and the factory scan tool will then push through the data, thinking that it's plugged into the old one. It'll update the software and the VIN to the correct VIN and the correct software. Now, I haven't tried this myself. I haven't done this on these transmissions, but I know people who have and said they have had success doing this. So that could be something to try in a used transmission that has either the wrong VIN or the wrong calibration. You can try hot swapping, changing that module out mid programming. Now, what I'm not talking about it's actually programming. You know, it starts doing its flash process and you unplug it. That's going to break the module. You go to the point where it identifies a vehicle, and before you actually begin that flash process, you're going to swap out the old module. So again, haven't tried it myself, so I just want to make that very clear. I haven't tried it for this application. Your other option here in the case of a used module is cloning over the original to the new one. And there are different tools out there that can do this. The one I can speak to for these applications is Flex. It's by Magic Motorsports. You can Google that. They have different package levels, but it actually connects to the control module, pulls the data, essentially copies that data, and then you can paste it into the used module, right? So this is beyond what a factory tool is able to do, but we are just going to clone over the data from the old one to the new one, including the VIN, including the software level, and then it's a plug and play. So you can do this on the bench, right? So that those are your options with the 8-speed Chrysler transmissions. The only other Chrysler vehicle that I wanted to mention was I did work on a Jeep Renegade. It was a 2017 recently that had a 9-speed transmission. The TCM for this is bolted to the transmission, but it's external. All right, so the 8-speeds I was talking about, the control module is part of the valve body inside of the transmission. These 9-speeds, the module is still just a module. It's a black plastic box. It has four holes that bolts go onto, and it bolts right to the top of the transmission. So if you're doing a used 9-speed transmission, just swap that module over, and then you'll have to do a valve body learn. But other than that, you're done. Really not necessary to do any programming on that one. And I did find it was possible to program a used module if it's not swapped out, but the easiest way to do that is just to swap it. So that kind of covers Chrysler, and it's probably the manufacturer with the least amount of information, only because those 8-speeds are really the only ones that I deal with often as far as programming goes, as other than just updating software. All right, so the next one that we're going to get into is Ford. Ford's got a little bit more to it. Now, again, much like Chrysler, most of Ford's TCMs and PCMs are going to be external to the transmission. Not all of them. I'll give you some examples where that's not necessarily the case. But again, most of them are external. But Ford does have more programming that happens during the replacement of a transmission than Chrysler does. So we're going to go through some of those applications. The two automatic transmissions, or I should say the two styles of automatic transmissions related to Ford that we're going to talk about are both 6-speeds. It's the 6R series, which will be rear-wheel drive in the trucks, F-150s, and the 6F series, which is going to be front-wheel drive used in stuff like the Fusion, the Escape, the Edge, Taurus, things like that, front-wheel drive vehicles. So the 6F and the 6R, they're both going to be 6-speed transmissions. The 6F transmission, actually, again, this is based off of a ZF-style transmission, and it was built, Ford built these transmissions in conjunction with the GM 6T series. Okay, so if you look at these two transmissions, they're very, very similar. Not identical. There are some major differences when it comes to programming, but there's a lot of similarities between these two transmissions, I would say, including failure rate. But anyways, we're focusing on Ford. We'll get to the GMs in the next episode. The 6R and the 6F transmissions are going to require some programming. Now, I did want to make a note here on Ford F-150s. Specifically 2009-2010. I've run into this a handful of times. These are 6R style transmissions. And if you go later years, you go, you know, 12, 13, 14, they're also 6R style transmissions in these. But the 9 and the 10 had the TCM internal to the transmission. And if the transmission was rebuilt or replaced, you had to program the TCM that was internal to the transmission. After which point, so 2011 and up, and they didn't use the transmission prior, but 2011 and up, they moved to having the controllers within the PCM, which is in the firewall, external to the transmission. Okay. But for 9 and 10, you've got an internal TCM that has to be programmed after replacement. And when you do this, you have to do a sequential programming with the ECM TCM. That's the only way you can do it. And if I remember right, the TCM is not really obvious that it's there, but you go into, it's either ECM or PCM programming, and it's a sequential, so it does both modules. And that's the only way you can program those particular ones. So they're kind of oddball, right? It's only 2 years that they did that, but module on the CAN bus in the transmission. After which point, with the 6Rs and the 6Fs, the 6Fs went all the way back to, I think, the 2007 Edge or the Lincoln, I think it's the MKZ, the SUV model. 2007 was the first year that I saw the 6Fs used. And again, 6R in the F-150s, that's going to be 2011 and forward. Any of these 6-speed transmissions, they have what's called a solenoid strategy and ID. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about here, because this is the programming portion of these transmissions that is very, very common, because these transmissions seem to fail pretty frequently. I get lots of calls on these Fords. And so the 6Rs, most of their trucks, the 6Fs, most of their front-wheel drive vehicles, excluding the Focus and Fiesta, we'll get to those. But it's most of the front-wheel drive vehicles. Again, that's going to be Escape, Edge, Fusion, Taurus. Any one of these are going to use a solenoid strategy and ID. So what this is the solenoids that operate fluid flow through the valve body and the transmission are going to have different flow rates. Their manufacturer tolerances are different. And if you actually look at these solenoids, they have numbers on them that correlate to their flow rate. But when they build the valve body and they have all the solenoids in it, there's a tag that's created or a number that's created to reflect the flow rates and the performance of each individual solenoid. And it's given to you in two numbers. Again, a strategy, which depending on the vehicle will be somewhere around 10 digits long, could be shorter, could be longer. And the ID, which again, 10 digits, give or take, can be 13, can be 9. There's different variations of this, but you're going to see two long numbers that are created based off the flow rates of the solenoids in the valve body, in that particular valve body that's in that vehicle. All right. So once they create these numbers, they're going to put this in a couple places, and you're going to need these numbers if you're going to program after transmission rebuild or replacement. It's going to be stamped or etched onto the valve body itself. Some of them on the connector that protrudes out of the transmission, but most of them are going to be on the actual valve body, right? And so if you need to get that off the valve body, that means you have to take off the side cover in order to access it. Or in a F-150, you'd have to drop the pan in order to access this. It's etched onto the valve body itself. But they put it in another spot. There's a tag, a white sticker, that on the 6Rs goes on the side of the transmission, and on the 6Fs is on the top of the transmission. And this tag is going to have your solenoid ID and your solenoid strategy. It's going to list it for you right there. If the valve body is replaced, which I do run into with transmission shops where they don't replace the whole transmission, just the valve body, that valve body will come with a sticker. And you want to make sure that you have that, and then you replace that on the transmission for future use. But you're going to need those updated numbers. Now, a couple things about these tags, because it's important. If you don't have these numbers on a used transmission, and I should mention that used transmissions are okay, but you have to put in this transmission solenoid strategy and ID in order for it to function correctly. This tag that's on the outside of the transmission can be damaged, can be removed. And I found out personally, if you have oil or brake clean on your thumb, or there's oil just on the sticker and you try to wipe any dirt off of the sticker or anything like that, the ink that is on these stickers will just come right off. If there's any oil or brake clean on your skin or on the tag and you go to wipe it or rub it, it's just going to wipe all the ink off of that sticker. And then you're kind of hosed. You're going to have to go into the transmission in order to find that ID, right? So the sticker is not legible. If the sticker is missing, you're going to have to go into the valve body. The shop's going to have to go into the valve body if you're doing the programming for them. Extra work. You want to avoid that. So I always ask when shops call me, do you have the sticker? Is it legible? Is it there? If you're putting a used one in, make sure that you're not manhandling the thing and, you know, smear the letters off of it, or just take a picture of it before you install it and send it to me so I have it. And I document the numbers on the invoice so I have records in the future of what's in there. But you can do this as well. Once you're plugged into the vehicle, you can go into the PCM, powertrain control module, and this is external from the trans again, but it's going to store those numbers that are entered into it. And they should match what's on the transmission, of course, unless it was just changed. But I've run into circumstances where I'm trying to diagnose a problem with the transmission, and I check to see, is the number on the tag the same as what's in the PCM? Because maybe somebody swapped a used transmission and didn't update that. That actually happens quite a bit. I've talked to a couple of my transmission shops that didn't even know that you were supposed to do that. They're like, I didn't know that there was, you know, something that you had to update in these. They never had an issue with it. And what I can say there is that it usually presents itself as an issue when the replacement transmission or valve body is significantly different than the one that was in there. If it's kind of close, if it's not that far off, you might not notice any performance issues or anything. You know, the transmission has adaptive measures. It may compensate for any small variance there that you'd experience, and you never know the difference. But you get one that is really different than the one that was in there, and I've experienced this, and it seems like it's barely drivable, like you got a bad transmission or something. And that's the extreme version of it. But I have run into scenarios where they've replaced them and they said, like, hey, I don't really think there's anything that we need to do. Again, for warranty purposes, if there is any on a used transmission, I want to make sure those numbers are updated. Another thing to bring up here, if you are swapping PCMs out, you need to make sure that the transmission solenoid strategy and ID get transferred over. Now, during a normal PMI, programmable module installation through Ford, this will transfer automatically. But if you're doing a used module and you're doing a blank path install, you might have to enter these numbers separately. But really what you're doing is either with IDS, Ford's factory tool, or Forescan. And if you're not using Forescan with Ford's, check it out. I think it's forescan.org. It's very reasonably priced. You can use it with Elm OBD2 connector or a J-box, so like the VCM2. You can use it with the VCM2 that you've used in IDS. But it mirrors Ford's factory programming and scan tool interface, and it does a pretty good job. It's not 100%. There's things that it's missing. It won't do everything. There's certain aspects about it that I really like that I think are better than IDS. But anyways, you can do the transmission solenoid ID and strategy update with either one of these tools. Now, as far as aftermarket tools go beyond that, I don't know if there's other tools that will do this. I will say I get a lot of calls from shops, so either they are not able or they haven't tried with their tools, and I'm talking like Topdon, Autel, Snap-on. I've never tried with one of those tools. I'd be curious to know if it does work, and you can let me know if you've had success with that. But what I do know is when you punch these numbers in to IDS or to Forescan, it's going to pull a file from Ford's server with the calibration information, the flow rate information for those solenoids, and then it's going to put it into the PCM. And so you need an internet connection or this process doesn't work. So it's not just entering numbers. You think of like flow rates for diesel injectors where you're just entering a number and updating it in the module. It's not quite the same. It pulls the actual file from Ford's server and updates the PCM with that information. So I don't know if a tool like Autel or Snap-on could do it, but I'd be curious if it did. I use the Ford tool to do this. And again, I think I already mentioned it, but new or used is fine with this. You're doing the same process. You're making sure those numbers get entered or updated within the PCM itself. All right, so last part of Ford that we're going to cover today is the Ford DPS6. This is the automatically shifted manual transmission that's found in the Focus and the Fiesta starting in 2012 and going all the way to 2019. And I'll talk a little bit about that, but we really, really see a lot of these transmissions failed. And there was a class action lawsuit against Ford where there was a settlement. They actually have another one that was just launched or started this summer for the 17 and through 19 models, because the previous lawsuit was for the 12 through 16 Focus and Fiesta. There's so many people had issues with these transmissions, whether it be a transmission failure or a module failure. They had a settlement, and the settlement was actually kind of funny to read through. There was a scenario where they'd buy back the car from you under specific circumstances. Otherwise, you got like a $200 cash payout for service at a Ford dealer, or a $50 payback if they updated your software. And then the bottom one was a $20 bill if the dealer refused to service your vehicle for whatever reason relating to the transmission problems. I'm assuming it's probably an intermittent issue that they said, hey, we there's nothing we can do for you. They'll give you a $20 bill in that case. And that was part of the class action lawsuit. But anyways, there's another one for the newer vehicles because I guess they haven't fixed it. And I'm not really going to get into the details on this transmission. It's a dual clutch transmission, again, automatically shifted, but it's a manual transmission. And it's run by this TCM that's on the side or back of the transmission, depending on how you look at it. It's on the driver's side of the vehicle, on the side of the transmission, and it's going to run the shift forks in order to move throughout the gears. And then it's also going to run clutch motors to move clutch A and clutch B to engage, disengage, and drive the vehicle. So you're driving a manual transmission, but you don't have a clutch pedal and you don't have a, you know, traditional stick shifter. Anyways, tons and tons and tons of failures on these things. So much so that these modules, in combination with the extremely high failure rate and chip shortage that we've been experiencing over the last few years, these things are impossible to find new. You can't get them from Ford. They have close to 100,000 on back order of these modules, last that I was told by a Ford parts manager. And they're telling people, they told somebody this spring that it was a year at least to see it, and they can't guarantee you any delivery date on these things, new from Ford. Okay, so these things are failing like crazy, and we can't get any of them used, or there are some like China eBay options. I will say the China eBay options, I've had a 50-50, I've had 50-50 luck with them actually programming and functioning correctly out of the box, or you go used. Well, the problem with used is, number one, you might get one that's failed already because there's such a high failure rate. And the other thing that I've run into is, even though these things will bolt up and plug in, they're not all the same. You got to pay attention to the part numbers if you're going used, and get it from the same vehicle if possible as well. If you try to take a Fiesta and put it in a Focus or vice versa, you're going to have some communication codes for instrument cluster is what I seem to run into when the modules are crossed, and then they won't program either. IDS won't recognize it correctly. But anyways, you can go use, just match the part number and then hope that it's good, and then hope that your transmission doesn't have issues on top of everything else. That can be a possibility too, but the modules are an extremely high failure rate. So much so that as you're listening to me, I have 6 of these modules sitting in my office here. I have one of them apart. I am working on a repair for these modules. I have a feeling I won't be able to fix every single one of them because the faults are different, but I'm going to work on something to try to help out the transmission shops that I deal with. And then also anybody that's listening to, once I figure this out, I'll let everybody know and might be able to provide a service, you know, for your customer where they're not able to get a reliable module otherwise. That's my goal. I don't know if I'll figure it out, but I'm going to give it everything I got. Hopefully figure this out. But anyways, kind of getting off track there. The programming portion of this is going to be done with IDS. And I've had the best luck with IDS for the programming on these because you're going to run a PMI. Used is okay. It's very simple. It runs through. And if it's the correct module and a functional module, the programming part of it is pretty straightforward when you're using IDS. After you're done programming, however, there is another step for these modules. If you want the vehicle to move correctly in gear, there's an adaptive clutch learn. So it's going to go through a series of processes, first with the key off and then with the engine running. You have to go wide open throttle at one point, and it's going to learn all the touch points for the two clutches. It's going to learn the shift drum positions. You're going to hear the thing click clacking all over the place. It's quite the procedure. It takes roughly, I would say, from start to finish, maybe 5 to 7 minutes to complete. And that's if it goes through. One thing, the reason I'm mentioning this is that these do fail. This process fails, and then it makes you wait a minute for the module to power down before you can try again. If it fails, the adaptive clutch learn, don't give up on it after the first try. Try 2 or 3 times to get them to go through. And if specifically, if you run into a fault or a hang up when it's, because it tells you where it's at during the process. If you run into a fault for learning one of the clutch positions or the touch points for the clutches, before you try the test again, start the engine up, run it through the gears, right? So you're going to go park, reverse, neutral, drive, and then make sure it give it some time to engage, and then you're going to go back through those gears, and you can even rev the gas up a little bit in gear. Now, do be careful here, because before this thing is adjusted, I've had these where they lurch forward, right? It's not moving, because you're in gear, you're on the gas, and then it jumps forward on you or backwards, depending on your gear. Just be careful that you're ready with your foot on the brake. But what I have found is doing this in between the failures of the adaptive learn, it seems to go through in the next one. Maybe it's just coincidence. Maybe you just have to try these things 2 or 3 times on some of these. I've had a lot that work the first time, but I've had others that it takes 2 or 3 times to get through the adaptive learning. Finally learns and you're good. Where I've seen it fail on the shift drum portion consistently, that's usually a bad module and it's going to require replacement. I've also had some transmission failures where it wouldn't engage the clutches at all. There was an internal failure, and of course they've got to rebuild the transmission at that point. Okay, so that's it for Chrysler and Ford transmission programming. Hopefully that information was good for you. The next time we'll do GM and Nissan. I'll go through the ins and outs for both of those manufacturers and programming transmissions. But other than that, I want to thank everyone for listening. Hey, if you're going to be at ASTE this week, right now it is 9/25/2022. I'm going to be heading down there on Wednesday. Not till later in the evening, but I'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm going to be recording on Thursday and Friday for the podcast. I've got my own booth to do this at. I've got a few mics. Come find me. We'll have a good time. I mean, even if we don't record, I'd love to say hi to anybody. But if you want to be on the show, this is a really easy way to do it. Just come sit down. We'll BS for a little bit, talk about the automotive industry, and have a great time. But I am looking forward to seeing everybody at ASTE. Hopefully you can make it. But that's all I got for you today. Thanks for listening. Let's all get out there, start fixing the world, one car at a time.